Today is the 26th day of November. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Happy birthday to my daughter, China, today. Our. Happy birthday to our daughter, China, today, who's been such a part of the Daily Audio Bible for so long now. So happy birthday to her, and tomorrow's Thanksgiving Day. So it is upon us. The holidays have arrived. And, I guess we can talk about some of that if we want to later. But let's dive in to today's reading and our next step forward. We began the book of Daniel yesterday. And so obviously we're going to be continuing. And Daniel will take us into the month of December. And so this next step forward brings us to chapter 2, verse 24 through 3, verse 30. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had assigned to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He came and said to him, "Don't destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me before the king and I will give him the interpretation." Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said to him, "I have found a man among the Judean exiles who can let the king know the interpretation." The king said in reply to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me the dream I had and its interpretation?" Daniel answered the king, "No wise man, medium, magician, or diviner is able to make known to the king the mystery he asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has let King Nebuchadnezzar know what will happen in the last days. Your dream and the visions that came into your mind as you lay in bed were these. Your Majesty, while you were in your bed, thoughts came to your mind about what will happen in the future. The revealer of mysteries has let you know what will happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but in order that the interpretation might be made known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. Your Majesty, as you were watching, suddenly a colossal statue appeared. That statue, tall and dazzling, was standing in front of you, and its appearance was terrifying. The head of the statue was pure gold. Its chest and arms were silver. Its stomach and thighs were bronze. Its legs were iron, and its feet were partly iron and partly fired clay. As you were watching, a stone broke off without a hand touching it, struck the statue on its feet of iron and fired clay, and crushed them. Then the iron, the fired clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were shattered and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away, and not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. Now we will tell the king its interpretation. Your Majesty, you are King of Kings. The God of the heavens has given you sovereignty, power, strength, and glory. Wherever people live, or wild animals, or birds of the sky, he has handed them over to you and made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. After you, there will arise another kingdom, inferior to yours, and then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which will rule the whole earth. A fourth kingdom will be as strong as iron, for iron crushes and shatters everything. And like iron that smashes, it will crush and smash all the others. You saw the feet and toes, partly of a potter's fired clay and partly of iron. It will be a divided kingdom, though some of the strength of iron will be in it. You saw the iron mixed with clay, and that the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly fired clay. Part of the kingdom will be strong and part will be brittle. You saw the iron mixed with clay. The peoples will mix with one another, but will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with fired clay. In the days of those kings, the God of the heavens will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, and this kingdom will not be left to another people. It will crush all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, but will itself endure forever. You saw a stone break off from the mountain without a hand touching it, and it crushed the iron, bronze, fired clay, silver, and gold. The great God has told the king what will happen in the future. The dream is certain, and its interpretation reliable. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell face down, worshipped Daniel, and gave orders to present an offering and incense to him. The king said to Daniel, "Your God is indeed God of gods, Lord of kings, and a revealer of mysteries. Since you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many generous gifts. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and chief governor over all the wise men of Babylon. At Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to manage the province of Babylon. But Daniel remained at the king's court. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to assemble the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to attend the dedication of the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces assembled for the dedication of the statue the king had set up. Then they stood before the statue Nebuchadnezzar had set up. A herald loudly proclaimed, "People of every nation and language, you are commanded. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music, you are to fall face down and worship the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire." Therefore, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and every kind of music, people of every nation and language fell down and worshipped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Some Chaldeans took this occasion to come forward and maliciously accuse the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. You, as king, have issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music must fall down and worship the gold statue. Whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. There are some Jews you have appointed to manage the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men have ignored you, the king. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up." Then, in a furious rage, Nebuchadnezzar gave orders to bring in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar asked them, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't serve my gods or worship the gold statue I have set up? Now if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music, fall down and worship the statue I made. But if you don't worship it, you will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God who can rescue you from my power?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, Nebuchadnezzar. We don't need to give you an answer to this question. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He gave orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than was customary, and he commanded some of the best soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace of blazing fire. So these men, in their trousers, robes, head coverings, and other clothes, were tied up and thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. Since the king's command was so urgent and the furnace extremely hot, the raging flames killed those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the furnace of blazing fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in alarm. He said to his advisors, "Didn't we throw 3 men bound into the fire?" "Yes, of course, your majesty," they replied to the king. He exclaimed, "Look, I see 4 men, not tied, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the door of the furnace of blazing fire and called, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come out." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. When the satraps, prefects, governors, and the king's advisors gathered around, they saw that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men. Not a hair of their heads was singed. Their robes were unaffected, and there was no smell of fire on them. Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel and rescued his servants who trusted in him. They violated the king's command and risked their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I issue a decree that anyone of any people, nation, or language who says anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be torn limb from limb and his house made a garbage dump. For there is no other God who is able to deliver like this." Then the king rewarded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. First Peter 4:7-5:14. The end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and sober-minded for prayer. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you, as if something unusual were happening to you. Instead, rejoice as you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may also rejoice with great joy when his glory is revealed. If you are ridiculed for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in having that name. For the time has come for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who disobey the gospel of God? And if a righteous person is saved with difficulty, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust themselves to a faithful Creator while doing what is good. I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness to the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory about to be revealed. Shepherd God's flock among you, not overseeing out of compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not out of greed for money, but eagerly, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. In the same way, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him, because he cares about you. Be sober-minded. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little while. To him be dominion forever. Amen. Through Silvanus, a faithful brother as I consider him, I have written to you briefly in order to encourage you and to testify that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, send you greetings, as does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Psalm 119, 81 through 96. Kaf. I long for your salvation. I put my hope in your word. My eyes grow weary, looking for what you have promised. I ask, when will you comfort me? Though I have become like a wineskin dried by smoke, I do not forget your statutes. How many days must your servant wait? When will you execute judgment on my persecutors? The arrogant have dug pits for me. They violate your instruction. All your commands are true. People persecute me with lies. Help me. They almost ended my life on earth, but I did not abandon your precepts. Give me life in accordance with your faithful love, and I will obey the decree you have spoken. Lamed. Lord, your word is forever, it is firmly fixed in heaven. Your faithfulness is for all generations. You established the earth and it stands firm. Your judgments stand firm today, for all things are your servants. If your instruction had not been my delight, I would have died in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for you have given me life through them. I am yours. Save me, for I have studied your precepts. The wicked hope to destroy me, but I contemplate your decrees. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your command is without limits. Proverbs 28, 15, and 16. A wicked ruler over a helpless people is like a roaring lion or a charging bear. A leader who lacks understanding is very oppressive, but one who hates dishonest profits prolongs his life. Okay, so we concluded 1 Peter today, this first letter of the Apostle Peter, and the theme of endurance is all throughout that letter. And we have spent a generous amount of time talking about endurance. The many of the letters in the New Testament, these are written to believers who are being marginalized and who are kind of disappearing into the woodwork, either walking away or just shrinking back. They're trying to avoid unrest and to find peace. And so, like, what did this actually look like during these earlier years of the church? Originally, it's not illegal to be a follower of Jesus or even known as a Christian in the Roman Empire. The Roman society, and man, just having spent 4 weeks all over the Roman Empire and seeing the magnificence, like, the Roman Empire was no joke. It was like the most advanced empire. What still exists until this day to reveal what it was like is pretty remarkable, especially before any kind of modern technology, before electricity, before like any kind of motorized vehicles. It's unbelievable how vast and how wide, how complex, how well developed this society actually was as a superpower. But it was a culture that was polytheistic. So they believed that there were many gods. And for them, the gods were everywhere. And they were involved in all different kinds of human activity in all sorts of different ways. So people could worship whatever god or goddess, basically, that they wanted to. But it was definitely expected that the gods of the empire, like the ones who had made Rome great, the gods of the empire, they were to be worshipped by everybody. So we see a similar thing in Daniel today with that giant statue in the Babylonian Empire. Everybody was expected to worship the king, but also like the gods of Babylon. Christians, and just like the Hebrews in the Babylonian times, they wouldn't do this. So it immediately made a person following Jesus stand out, not fit in, be an outsider in the culture. Jewish people also refused to worship the gods of the Empire of Rome, but they were a much older, they were following a very ancient tradition. And so there was some toleration for them because they had been assimilated into the empire, but they were following very, very ancient customs. And so they kept to themselves like they were separatists. So they were not exactly integrated at all, but they were tolerated. So for a while, as the church is forming, for a while, Christianity was just perceived as like a subsect of the Jewish faith, because these people were following a Hebrew rabbi, and it was like just thought that they were following the Jewish faith only through the lens of this specific Jewish rabbi named Jesus. But eventually, especially within the book of Acts, the first church council, where Gentiles were welcomed into the faith, this caused an incredible amount of disruption. And so the Jews began to denounce the message of Jesus and all who would follow him, because Gentiles were flooding into the faith, and this was not how they thought going. And so that set Christians apart like Jews, but the Jews were denouncing them, so that set them apart by everybody. And so they began to come under pressure to conform to the culture of the empire, to worship the gods of the empire. They could worship Jesus, but they needed allegiance, right? Allegiance to the empire. And one of those allegiances was in spirituality. And without that, like denying that, not being willing to do that, made them seem traitorous, like anti-empire, anti-Roman. And so that put them under tremendous pressure and under fire. And so we can see then why this theme of these early letters written to these people that are being marginalized in this way has a theme of endurance that is so prevalent, and the encouragement to be enduring people and to rise above the stereotype and to live a life worthy of God. And this is being passed around to all the churches. So letters like 1 Peter, these would eventually become a treasured part of the New Testament because they were passed around and preserved at a really, really pivotal time, when people needed encouragement and instruction on even what it looks like to endure. And this is also why there's so much posture, like instruction to embrace endurance and how to live among the harsh realities of being marginalized with bigotry and slander. The earliest believers, our brothers and sisters of old, were in a true struggle. They were truly being stereotyped, and all they could do is rise above it. So that brings like important questions, though. What was the stereotyping? Well, like, what did that look like when these brothers and sisters were being marginalized? Because people could not get their mind around the traditions or understand a gospel of a singular God and his son. There are many writings from antiquity, and some of them that have survived, they tell of this mischaracterization. There is one in a book called Octavius, and this was written by an early detractor called Minucius Felix. And he speaks of Christians and like this stuck as a definition. So of Christians, he said, they know one another by secret marks and insignia, and they love one another almost before they know one another. Everywhere there's mingled among them a certain religion of lust, and they call each other promiscuously brothers and sisters. That even a not unusual debauchery may, by the intervention of that sacred name, become incestuous. I hear that they adore the head of an ass, that basest of creatures consecrated by I know not what silly persuasion. A worthy and appropriate religion for such manners. Some say that they worship the virilia of their pontiff and priest. Virilia, this is Latin for the male genitals. So this is what they worship, the penis of the priest, and adore the nature, as it were, of their common parents. And I know not whether these things are false. Certainly suspicion is applicable to secret and nocturnal rites. And he who explains their ceremonies by reference to a man punished by extreme suffering for his wickedness into the deadly wood of the cross appropriates fitting altars for reprobate and wicked men, that they may worship what they deserve. Like, those are actual words that give the characterization of what these people were, like, what was being said about believers in Jesus. And so consider, like, see how easy it is in our world today for people to be stereotyped. And we just hear these descriptions of who they are and what they represent. And they are represented by some subsection of those people who may be radicalized or something. And so we stereotype an entire people. That's not unusual. That happens today. We have convictions and biases today against people. People of different denominations, people of different traditions religiously, people of different ethnic traditions, different ethnic customs, people of different anything that sets us apart can be mischaracterized so that it's us versus them. So what would your response be if that's the kind of stuff that was being said about a people that you didn't understand? If you're a non-believer, you do not know the story of the gospel. How quickly would you be racing to sign up to be a part of this group or this religion? And if you had put your faith in Jesus and knew that these were distortions and they were absolute false, but the entire culture is characterizing you this way, how do you respond? How do you live among that when it's like, you cannot overcome the stereotype? The only way, right, is what's in these letters. Endure it. Rise above it. There is no other move. And so having a better understanding of these challenges than the things that Peter's saying about endurance make more sense from our reading today. This theme of endurance, it's already begun. It will not let up. It will carry us through the end of the year. But this is why these letters are being written into this kind of stew. This is what is being said. This is how they are being marginalized. And this is why they are being encouraged. Very few of us have ever needed to endure this way, like the early believers did. If they hadn't done it, though, if they had not found a way to endure, it's very unlikely we would be here having this conversation at all. Our faith was handed down to us by the few who chose to stay true and endure. And so, we're called to follow that example. We're called to do the same thing. And it's, you know, no matter how it is that we find challenge, whether it's challenge from within and temptation within, or whether it's actual marginalization from without, it's not easy. None of this is easy. Endurance is not easy. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you into the areas of life where enduring is all we've got. It's the only move that there is. We have thrashed about. We have chased everything. From the right pill, to the right therapy, to the right job, to the right community, to the right anything. We've chased and chased and chased. And sometimes life has led us to a place where the only move there is to endure what is happening. There is no other way out. We have to stand and endure it and rise above and seek and reach for you instead of any other coping mechanism, because we've tried them all and they only make it worse. Endurance is the only move. And that sucks, and that is hard, and that is excruciating at times. And yet, we see in the scriptures we are not alone or abandoned. And in so many ways we are in this together, even though we feel so isolated and alone. And we are told that if we will endure, then we will surely overcome. And we have to take that on faith and stand and stay true. And so, Holy Spirit, come into the weariness, come into the brokenness, come into the fatigue, come into the depression, come into the anxiety. The only move is to endure it. And at times it feels like it's impossible. Come into us. Give us the strength that we need. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Welcome back to another edition, installment. Episode of whatever this is.
I don't think we should call like announcements whatever this is, should we?
Yeah, because people don't know what we're here to talk about.
Okay. Well, hi everybody, welcome back around the little campfire here.
Yeah, we can talk about. I know we've got some things that we got to talk about, but we can also just like, I don't know. What's on your mind?
I mean, we're just figuring it out, everybody. We're figuring it out. We're sorting it out.
But you seem to not want to call it. Okay.
Well, because
welcome
whatever this
to
is.
A very important announcement episode.
Little series of announcements.
I'm Jill.
I'm Brian.
Hi.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, happy almost Thanksgiving. Yeah. What are you most excited about eating tomorrow?
I don't know.
Oh, really?
All of it.
Yeah.
You're like a fine chef, and we've been putting on our aprons and whipping up this feast together.
Been cooking for days.
I mean, I've been more the assistant, for sure. And you are the master chef.
Oh, no. But you will not find a box of stovetop anywhere in my house.
I mean, there are different flavors that just take me back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
Is like back into my childhood as far as I can remember, because of the recipe and the Jell-O and.
Yeah, but the one thing you said to me throughout the years of our marriage is you have to get the cornbread dressing.
That's what I'm talking about.
You have to get this recipe right.
And you have.
Yeah,
it took me. And actually, you've improved on it. Like, It's
Thank
magic.
You. Thank
so
you.
So maybe that.
Yeah.
But man, all of it. I don't eat like ham, turkey, stuffing, dressing, Jell-O. What else we got here?
Sweet potato casserole.
Homemade rolls.
Homemade sourdough from China.
Yeah, and she's a master at that.
Yep. Spicy corn casserole, broccoli cheddar, rice casserole.
Yeah.
Mashed potatoes, cranberry relish. I'm forgetting something, but and then there's dessert. But
and the pies.
The pies. Chocolate pie, pecan pie, pumpkin pie.
And I think I've just gained 2 pounds in the last 2 minutes.
Been cooking for days. Okay, well, we're here because we have some really important things to talk about.
Actually, several things we need to go over, and we'll go over them quick. So, number one, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, almost.
Tomorrow is the last day that you can call in your campfire story.
Yeah.
That we have been collecting, and wow, hours have come in. Beautiful, 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 beautiful stories.
Mm-hmm.
Some that have, like, we're still working through, but some really bring a tear and are so compelling and humbling that we even get to hear the story, much less be a part of the story.
Yeah.
And
they're all beautiful. This truly is my favorite thing besides the Christmas episode. I think it's just because we get a chance to hear from everyone else.
I love that.
Yeah.
So, if you have not called in your campfire story, which basically this is the 20th year, a couple weeks ago we just came on here and said, what is your story? How long have you been here? Where are you from? What is your daily audio Bible story? What is being in community going through the Bible meant to you, whether it's been for the last week or for the last 20 years? And
today is the day.
Yeah, tomorrow is the last day.
And
we're going to kind of cobble that all together and bring it so that everybody can hear. And
it's going to get carved up like a turkey.
It's going to be a beautiful one, though.
Yeah.
So that's announcement number one. Okay. That's one. Item number two. We are going back to Israel in February. And that is something that we talked about over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been kind of back and forth and stuff like that, because we've, like, COVID and different unrests and stuff like that, we, like, never make the journey without complete, absolute, like, hands on the ground, boots on the ground, safety, understanding completely what is going on. And we've, you know, we have, like, plenty of resources and relationships and contacts very deeply on the ground there from 15 years, from months and months and months and months over years there. So we're going back in February, and actually almost all of our family, like at this point, we're taking almost all of our family. And so we've reconfigured some of the bus, like where seating and stuff, we've reconfigured some of that, which has created an opportunity for just a handful of seats that are available to go in February.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we'll be talking about this for 2027. But if you were like, man, I wanted to go, I want to go, and you can jump into something like that and want to jump into something like that in a couple months, then we would love to see you. And this won't last. Like, Israel goes so fast.
Yeah.
The trip fills up so fast, so this won't last. We'd love nothing more than to see you on the coast of the Mediterranean Ocean.
So how will people that want to go reach out?
Yep, to inquire about that, go to dailyaudiobible.com and click the initiatives button, and you'll see Israel in there. Or if you're using the app, click the little drawer icon in the upper left-hand corner. You'll find the initiatives button in the drawer. Click that, and you will find Israel, and then you can inquire there and make arrangements there. And so, like I said, this isn't something we're going to talk about much, because there's just a handful, and so they'll be gone.
Mm-hmm.
But wanting to put that out there, we just reconfigured. Because so many of us are going to be there in our household. Just about all of us, actually. And so we would love to enjoy that experience with you. So
that's number two.
Number three.
Inside joke.
Yeah. It's very, very important. So every year, we release at Christmas time a Daily Audio Bubble Christmas box. And this is no different of a year for that, except for this is a very
special,
very different, very special, very exclusive, very one of a kind, very only ever gonna happen kind of Christmas box. So the Daily Audio Bubble Christmas box is available now while supplies last. And we have worked on this for quite a while. This is the 20th year of the Daily Audio Bible. But if you've been here at all this year, you can't miss that, because we've been really trying to be grateful and really trying to observe with humility the reality.
Well, and it's quite a milestone.
Yeah.
You are, let me rephrase, the Daily Audio Bible is the longest running biblical podcast.
Or of any sort.
Yes. In the history of podcast, period. Period. Yep.
The longest running daily podcast in history.
So I'm proud of you, and I think it should be worth, it's worth noting. So.
Yes. So in the Christmas box this year, we've packed it full of really yummy and really good goodies.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
part of our history.
Yeah. Putting turkey and chocolate pie.
And so you want to order it quick.
Okay, no, we're not.
To arrive before.
Yeah.
No.
Leftovers.
We have some eggs from our chickens. And
if you get the golden egg.
Okay. And it's part of our heritage. So first of all, coffee, wind farm coffee in particular, it's been part of our heritage for most of the run, most of the time. And you and I pretty well drink it pretty well every single day.
Yes.
And it's typically almost always, I got a cup of it to my right as I'm reading every day.
And it's good coffee.
It's great. And sometimes I switch over to Wind Farm tea. Mm-hmm. I go on a little binges for tea, but typically it's Wind Farm coffee. So we have two different bags of Wind Farm coffee in the box. The Daily Audio Bubble Christmas blend, which is only available at Christmas time. And we formulated that painstakingly last year.
Yep.
It's a chocolate hazelnut. It goes back into Jill and my history to our earliest days before we ever were married. There was a restaurant here in Nashville. It's not around anymore. It was called Sunset Grill, and we were falling in love, so head over heels, but we went there, and they served this very specific chocolate hazelnut coffee.
Yeah.
And we loved it. We found out where they sourced it, and it was like sourced locally, and so
We saw Amy Grant at that restaurant back in the day.
It was the hang. It was definitely the place to go and be seen.
And the food was amazing. Like, it wasn't just, I could shed a tear thinking about that being gone, but you're right.
It's a biscuit this, love now.
Yeah.
But yeah.
We're sorry.
It was such a place back in those days, in the heyday.
The coffee of the moment was chocolate hazelnut.
And man,
it was so good.
And we never got over it. And so we really tried to recreate it ourselves. So we really, really sampled lots of options and recipes to get it as we remembered it. And that is our Christmas blend. And this is the second year we've had the Christmas blend, and it's only available at this time of year. And so that, a bag of that, is in the box. And then we also painstakingly introduced another flavor this year in recognition of 20 years. And in trying to find that recipe, we found, like, we tried a lot of different options. Some of them we were like, I don't think I...
Yeah.
This would only be good iced, or what are we even trying to blend these flavors? Because we're trying to find something really interesting. And we just went to our roots. We're here in the South.
Yep.
This is where we are. The South of the United States. This is our region. This is where we live. And so we kind of went to those roots and crafted a recipe that we now love called Southern Pecan.
Southern Pecan.
20th anniversary reserve. And we introduced that a few months ago. And man, thousands of pounds of coffee have gone out into the world and created goodness and drinking pleasure. And so in commemoration of our 20th anniversary, a bag of the 20th anniversary reserve Southern Pecan is in the box. And we've, like, as we're moving toward a brand new app and a brand new platform and everything, we have rebranded Wind Farm. So these are our brand new bags. Brand new branding for the Wind Farm. So they look nice. The black one and the cream one.
Yep.
And yeah, it's so yummy and so nice.
You worked really, a lot of people worked really hard on these products.
Yep.
Our team worked really hard and they're beautiful.
Always trying to be excellent and just be our creative selves and be proud of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so those are in the Christmas box. Then.
And then.
And this is like exclusive.
Yeah.
So we created this box, had the box specially made, embossed and imprinted with the Daily Audio Bible in it. Has this little magnet and you kind of open it up and inside is our mission statement. And there's a 20th anniversary coin. And it's our 20th anniversary logo and it commemorates the 20th year. And it's beautiful. Very, very custom, very, very classy, very special made. And then also in the box is this metal card. Kind of like, I don't know if you've ever seen like the Apple car, like the credit, you know, like it's like made out of metal, not out of like cardboard or plastic. It's metal. And it's got the Daily Eddie Rebel logo on it, and it's got the number. So like every single one of these boxes is a numbered, a one-of-a-kind edition.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about a box within the box.
Right.
So this little collector's...
Very, very...
specialized, customized, individually numbered... collector's coin.
Yeah.
With a collector's card.
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
They are beautiful. And was kind of our best way of this one of a kind kind of this is celebrating a feat that we could have never done on our own and never would have imagined even possible to become the longest running podcast in history, and that it be centered around the scriptures spoken out loud every day. And that is the, you know, there's so millions of podcasts now. Everybody's got a podcast, but for the longest running one to be the Bible, and that it's, you know, that we've been able to steward that is crazy. And so we really wanted to celebrate. So that is in the box. And then.
What else is in the box?
A little wristband with the word of the year for next year for you to put around your wrist and carry around with you all year long.
Should we just keep it a secret until the Christmas episode, or should we tell, like, they're going to get it, but...
I think we always, at the Christmas party, spend time reflecting and looking forward and talking about the word of the year for the next year. And we will do that. And that is what's going to happen. You can find out what that word is in advance because we put a wristband in the box for you to wear around your wrist all year. And so when you get the Christmas box, you'll get that. And so that is in the box. But wait.
There's more.
Every year in the Christmas box for a very long time now, we've had an exclusive Christmas ornament that is only in the Christmas box. And it has the word of the year for that year on it. And this is a very special Christmas ornament. Does have the word that we had this year, safe.
Safe.
Safe. Big, big word. Big, big word. And we'll talk about that word when we get to the Christmas party as we look back. But that is on the Christmas ornament, but also it's a very special Christmas ornament because it has our 20-year celebration logo on it. And it's a multicolored. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I love those from all of the years. I love those.
It's like a modernized version of like a very old school childhood nostalgic Christmas thingy.
Yep. So that's in the Christmas box. Only in the Christmas box. And then we wrote a letter. I'm just thanking everybody for 20 years and just shared a little bit about that. And you and I had a big signing party. So we, we signed every single one of those.
We did.
And then a couple of butternut mints with a little Daily Audio Bible Global Campfire logo on it are thrown in for good measure. So that when you go to Christmas parties, you can have good breath. When you go to Christmas Eve service, you don't have to worry. We got you covered.
And take one and give one away to someone who has bad breath. And just be like, I love you enough to give you this mint.
Yeah. And why don't you join the Global Campfire while you're at it?
Yeah.
We all have good breath around this campfire.
Two birds with one mint.
So that is the Christmas box for this year, this 20th year.
And it's available today.
And it's in our brand new Daily Audio Bible boxes.
Yay!
It took months and months of effort, but brand new packaging, like brand new boxes from the Daily Audio Bible shop. So it will come as a very, very special arrival. And so those are available now in the Daily Audio Bible shop, either on the web or in the app. Now, also, a couple of other things are in the Daily Yeti Rebel shop for right now, for this year. They're not in the box, but they're in the shop. We went back to all of the words of the year for all of the years that they've been coming. And that doesn't go back 20 years, but it goes back, I think, 16. I can't remember. A lot of years. There's been this kind of word that bubbles up that's a yearly focus and has become like really a North Star. We haven't always paid attention as good as we should, like, but it's always been really, really important for us. So we actually pressed collector's coins for it every year. And so however long you've been here, you can go back and get all of those if you want to remember your different years year around the Global Campfire, or just have them all. But those, we made them one for each year. They're each individual. And those are in the Daily Audio Bible shop now. And wristbands. The wristbands with the word of the year for next year in four different colors, different options. Lots of people love these wristbands and love to give them away and invite people in conversation starters. And so it's got dailyaudiobible.com on it, or the word of the year. It's like in there. It's easy thing to kind of give away. Stocking stuffer. Like, really, really good for that. So those are available in the Daily Audio Bible shop as well. And that is what we got to tell you.
It's what we got to say.
So so.
It's that time of year.
Yeah.
And I also want to just kudos to our team who has done such a beautiful job getting everything ready.
No doubt.
With efficiency and excellence, and they're ready to go.
Yeah. They will get to you quick.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're really excited about that. Okay, so not to take a bunch more time.
Nope, let's just recap real quick. First things first, tomorrow is the last day to call in for your global campfire story to be a part of the Thanksgiving episode.
Yep.
Secondly, Israel. A handful of slots. A handful of spots. Some of you missed the rest of the announcements because you're like, I got to get there.
Yeah.
They may be sold out already. Thirdly, baby, take it.
The Christmas box. And if you want to know what's in it, just rewind.
Yeah.
We just went over all that. But the Daily Audio Bubble Christmas box.
They're available now.
They're available now. And then a couple of the other new products are available now. The coins for all of the different words of the year that we've ever had.
Yeah.
Are available. With the year, like with the word and the year that it was the word. And so quite a collection. Love it. And then also wristbands in four different colors for the word of the year for 2026. What's upcoming. And those make great stocking stuffers and invitations for the year that's coming. So those are available in the Daily Audio Bubble Shop.
Stuff a stocking with a box.
Yep. Oh, yeah. If you can.
If you can. That's a big stocking.
Okay, that is it. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We love you.
We love you.
We're grateful, grateful, grateful.
We hope you eat until your heart is content and your waistband expands, but not too much.
Yeah. With a grateful heart.
With a grateful heart, most importantly. And maybe we just not make it a day, but we make it a posture of our heart.
Yeah. So that's it. I'm Brian.
I'm Jill.
We love you. And we'll be waiting for you here.
Tomorrow.